Hare Krishna, welcome everyone. So we'll briefly review what we discussed last session. We did 20 to 25, right? So Krishna is explaining about demigod worship. So can we briefly summarize what we discussed? Verse number 20.
Vedas is just trying to enjoy sense gratification, but in a higher plane, that's all. So that's the, but if you want to actually satisfy the Lord, then you just don't worry about all those things.
He's saying people who study the Vedas with the aim to achieve heavenly planets, they will achieve them, but again, in the next verse, Krishna says they will come back again. They will achieve, that's what the next verse is saying. They will attain the heavenly planets, but again, they will come back, because once they exhausted, pious activities are exhausted, they will come back to the material planet, material land again. So then, text number 22, he talks about devotees don't worry about their maintenance, because people may worship demigods because they are afraid of their maintenance. They want to get, protection from demigods, thinking they will protect them. But devotees of Krishna, they depend on Krishna and they don't need to worry about maintenance because they have full faith that Krishna will protect them. So that's what he's talking in text number 22. So what do they do? What does Krishna do for them? How does he reciprocate?
That is what they lack.
Preserves what they have. Yeah. So it's yoga kshemam vahami yaham. He preserves what they have and he carries what they lack. So whatever they have, he preserves their Krishna consciousness. Whatever is lacking, he will provide for that and he will make sure that the Krishna consciousness proceeds without any hampering. So we discussed about what does the Lord exactly protects, right? We discussed it's not the body, it's not the relationships with the body, but he protects the Krishna consciousness. Text number 23. So Krishna talks about destination of who worship the demigods. How does he see them as? He says that they are avidhi purvakam. They are worshipping him in a wrong way, indirect way. And it's Prabhupada says in the purport, it's like a giving bribe to the ministers. It's illegal. So we want something very cheaply or very fast. So all this visa, all these things are there, right? There are premium processing and this processing, that processing. Some are sanctioned by the government itself, but some people may do illegally. So that's how the demigods illegally they take, because that's their right to deliver the goods, to provide the rain, to provide the sunshine. That's their duty. So we should not provide bribe for them for doing their duty.
I was reading, I think it's in Madhya Pradesh, there's actually a temple which is a visa temple. People go there, it's considered a visa bar.
Balaji. They go there and do pradakshinas, then they will get visa.
Okay. It's a strong belief for people. So many people go there.
Okay. So then in 24, Krishna says, those who worship. So what happens if for the people who recognize demigods as authorities, and because of that they consider Krishna as not the authority, then what will happen to them? He says that they fall down. They fall down and attain repeated birth and death. That's kind of punishment, but that's what he's saying, that's what they want. That's a consciousness they want, and that's a consciousness they want to cultivate, so he's going to provide that opportunity. So text number 25, finally he says, whoever worship demigods, they go to demigod planets. Whoever worship the ancestors, go to ancestors. Ghosts and spirits, they take birth among them, and those who worship me will live with me. So Prabhupada very clearly tells in the purport, if we worship demigods, if we go to demigods, if we worship such and such, we go to such and such. It's very natural, if we worship Krishna, we go to Krishna. Why people don't have faith in that? So he talks very logically. So we accept all those things, but we don't want to accept that we'll go to Krishna. So he's trying to make it a very logical statement about that.
ancestors, wherever the ancestors are. They
yeah, there is a planet specifically called Pitruloka, one of the what is 14 planetary systems, right? I think it's below the Bhuloka, Bhumandala actually. So that's where all the ancestors live, and you join their family because we are very much attached to the family heritage. Many people always talking about their great-grandfather, great-grandfather, always live with them, right? Then when the moment of death, they want to live with them, so they will go and live with them. So that's also this, what is the system? Nuta, there is some kind of religion. They believe that after you liberate, you live in heaven with your family members. That's their...
Mormons,
yeah, that's their belief. That's, you know, we are one family, and after you die, if you practice this so-and-so religion, then you will live with the same family in the eternal kingdom. That's their promise. But, you know, it's not based on properly scriptures, you know, because...
They are also very strict materialists.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't gamble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do everything nicely, but the philosophy, I don't know what is it based on. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not exactly according to the proper understanding of scriptures, right? Or maybe, you know, that maybe the conception of Pitruloka for them. I don't know exactly what in details of their worship, but this is what I heard. Okay, so text number 26, we'll cover this very, very crucial section. Now from 26 onwards, Krishna is talking about pure devotional service. So that's why this chapter is very important. So 26 talks about what kinds of foodstuff does he accept. 26, text number 26. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti upahartam ashnami prayatatmanaha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit or water, I will accept it. So what kinds of foodstuff Krishna is saying will accept?
Leaf,
flower, fruit or water. So leaf is tulsi leaf, no, flowers, Krishna, fruits and water. He says I will accept it. So what does it, no, how, what do we understand by this? What is our realization about this statement? No, what occurs to us when we read this verse? Accept it. So love and devotion is a main ingredient,
it's
actually.
Just what I was going to say. There's five things, not four. The fifth one is the...
Yeah. The four are the things. The fifth one is the essence of the things. Secret ingredient, yes. The salt in the cooking. So yeah. So love and devotion, with love and devotion, whatever we offer, Krishna accepts it. It's not about the material nomination or denomination of that particular item. Any more points? Anybody wants to share?
So it's like with love, even if you give me one, so it's all in singular.
It's
not
funny
or
yeah.
So it's in
just
one,
give me one leaf.
Even if you give me that one thing, but with love,
yeah, very nice. Any more points, Mataji? Sudha Mataji? It's all from.
Thinking about the story you mentioned, Mataji, when offering that devotion, like one devotee was very poor, was making keel in his mind and he burnt his hand. Pure devotion.
Yeah, exactly. Very nice. Yeah. Yeah, that's what Srila Prabhupada. So bhakti term occurs twice in this verse. If you notice, the second line, third line, yome bhaktya prayachati and tadaham bhakti upahartam. That's why that Prabhupada says love and devotion. That's the main ingredient in the offering. Prabhupada also says this verse indicates that whatever condition, material condition we are in, rich or poor, we can serve the Lord all the time. Because, you know, he just wants a leaf, flower, and we cannot, so we should not be, practically, what does it mean for us is at any point, we should not think, I'm not qualified to serve Krishna or I'm not serving him enough. See, we may compare with others or something like that and think, you know, oh, that Mataji is doing so many things or so many, for example, one Mataji, no, she told me, Gunarupani Mataji, she loves to cook so much. So on special festival days, for her home deities, she does 108 offerings. One day she told she did. No, so If somebody hears, even for temple, we don't do sometimes. So, somebody may feel like, oh, what an opulent offering, you know, oh, I'm not deserving. It's one day Shri Mataji was sharing. In Japa Retreat, she was saying, Gauranita, I am not doing anything for them, but still they are accepting everything. It's their mercy. I don't know. I wish I can serve them better. You know, that's a good mood to have. But at the same time, we should see that, you know, the Lord is accepting the bhava, the feeling in our offering. So, only thing we need to assure is we are doing the best we can. And all the time, but it's not, doesn't give an excuse to slacken. It's like, okay, anyway, he's going to accept the bhava. So, you know, I'll overcoat my bhava with some other things and should present it, you know. It's not like that. He knows exactly what is in our heart. So, but then that helps us become very happy, you know. So, whatever situation, okay, right now I have the facility, so I'm going to make certain thing and offer. But when I don't have the facility, I will maybe just offer water. It's okay, Krishna will accept it. So, for example, you know, if you have kids, right? We also went through roller coaster when we had kids. The whole schedule, whole standards, everything was a mess. So then I said, you know, that's how much I can do. No, I'll just offer water and whatever we cook, we'll going to offer you. But otherwise, earlier we used every day in the morning to offer fruits and then before going to work, something like that. I used to do different things. So based on the situation, it changes and Krishna knows that. Krishna is a very, very practical person. See, we can see that, you know, he's very practical. You know, I know your situations, you know, out of so many attractions, bondings and attachments, somehow you are trying to serve me. So I know I appreciate that. I am going to take that in you. So nice. So we'll see how he's going to reciprocate with such a devotee. So we'll read like some 8th line down. Krishna only wants only loving service. 8th or 10th.
Krishna wants only loving service and nothing more. Krishna accepts even a little flower from his pure devotee. He does not want any kind of offering from a non-devotee. He is not in need of anything from anyone because he is self-sufficient. And yet he accepts the offering of his devotee in an exchange of love and affection. To develop Krishna consciousness is the highest perfection of life. Bhakti is mentioned twice in this verse in order to declare more emphatically that bhakti or devotional service is the only means to approach Krishna. No other condition such as becoming a brahmana, a learned scholar, a very rich man or a great philosopher can induce Krishna to accept some offering. Without the basic principle of bhakti, nothing can induce the Lord to agree or to accept anything from him.
Mm. You can pause the message. So some of the points Srila Prabhupada is saying, again reiterating that, you know, the bhakti is the main ingredient and only through bhakti we can somehow appease Krishna to accept the offering. Without bhakti, even a non-devotee makes an opulent offering, Krishna is not going to accept. What is an incident in Mahabharata which reflects this? You may know, right?
Duryodhana.
Yeah, Duryodhana and Vidura.
Peace.
You can narrate it.
So when Krishna
not peace one. Arjuna and Krishna, Duryodhana, not that one. You're talking about...
During the feast offering, he goes for a peace offering and he refuses to take the feast in Duryodhana's.
Mm. King, yeah.
He goes there, but Duryodhana tries to,
outshow.
Make Krishna eat in his house so that, you know, Krishna will side with them, right? But Krishna...
And he makes so many opulent preparations, everything.
He's made like huge feasts and he's saying, come Krishna, let's have food. And it's like, no, I will pause on that. And he goes to Vidura's house. And Vidura, as I understand it, is being constantly put down by Duryodhana because he's not born in a regular way or in a way. So he's always constantly put down. He's living in the outskirts in a hut. And so Krishna instead goes to his house. And even there, Krishna is taking plantain skins instead of bananas or whatever. So it's the prema bhava that he's seeing.
Mm.
And I don't know, Mataji, maybe you can correct me in this, but apparently in there he says that when Vidura is, when Krishna, Lord Krishna comes to Vidura's hut, he makes him sit there and in this haribari he's feeding Krishna all the
peels.
Banana skins and then Krishna eats that happily, and then when his wife points out that you have been feeding him, and then he tries to give the real pranas again, he said, you cannot feed me with food. The only thing you can feed me is with devotion. Your devotion has filled me up, you know, he said. You know, that I was thinking about, of course, he could eat the whole, like for the boar, then he'll just like few bananas.
Yeah, so nice. Yeah, see, that's so clear, right? What example of what Krishna accepts really. So Duryodhana's attitude was not to really to serve or please Krishna, but to get something out of him. So it nods out of mood of devotion. So he rejected him, but rather he accepted pure devotion of Vidura. So it's not materially so tangible what he offered, but you know, that's what Bhava is, what he accepted. So nothing can induce a lord to accept anything from anyone. So only the bhakti. So even ourselves, you know, Srila Prabhupada has given the procedure we offer to Krishna. But we don't, Krishna is not going to accept what we offer. We are not qualified, we are not pure devotees. So the process is, we first say the pranam mantra of our, whoever has guru or aspiring from a spiritual master, they can say their spiritual master's mantra. And then they say Prabhupada mantra. Who doesn't have any right now yet spiritual master, and directly they can pray, say Srila Prabhupada's pranam mantra. Then say, and then some other mantras are there. So basically saying so we are giving to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada is going to make it qualified and offered back to Krishna gradually through disciplic succession, and prasadam also comes like that down. Prabhupada is going to hand over to us. So it's not like, you know, Krishna is really, you know, we are not really offering Krishna. We are not so qualified. Somehow Prabhupada is given us a chance to train us everything. So we are giving to Prabhupada.
So then the court worship
the Krishna will not accept Krishna. The demigod,
so like Lakshmi, or we do puja for Lakshmi. So then if we offer, it is not going to Krishna.
So you're saying you do puja to...
No, like when we offer... Right now, but
before, when we do to Saraswati or something, like maybe Satyanarayan Puja or something, so there you offer to who? Satyanarayan is Vishnu, right?
So it goes to Krishna.
Depends on the pujari there is offering, right? If he is qualified, then yeah.
Because it said here, I don't accept from a non-devotee.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's why devotee. Yeah, anyway, those are all not part of, I don't think it's done in pure devotion, right? It's done out of fruitive results. Okay, everything is nice in my home or something like that, you know, something. So it's part of Vedic systems, right? So Satyanarayana is a considered form of Krishna, or like Narayana, or
Narayana.
Narayana only, right? Yeah. Yeah. No, but he is not demigod, that's the whole thing. Satyanarayana is not demigod. So that he is not demigod, but we are not going through disciplic succession. So I don't think it's, he accepts it so nice. And so basically it all depends on the pujari. So if pujari is so pure at heart, then because he is offering to Krishna, so he may accept it. He does mantras, everything based on the pujari. But if he's also doing only for money, everything, it's all anyway namesake, whole thing. Yeah, so...
the people in India going through is the same thing.
Yeah,
namesake
like,
thing.
Yeah, exactly. Everything, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah, it's not, it's just that, for example, they do Ganesha Puja, everything, right? So it's offered to Ganesha. Maybe Ganesha may accept it. I don't know what is his rules and regulations. But you know, it's not Krishna Prasadam. So we are eating. It could be, like for example, Shiva. Like, you know, for example, we serve great. For example, we invite advanced devotees home. We serve them Prasadam, right? And we take the remnants. It's Mahaprasadam, actually. If they are, like if you worship them in that mood, then taking their Prasadam, it's very good, beneficial. You got it? Like Shiva, for example, Shivaratri, you know. First you offer the boga to Krishna and offer the Mahaprasadam first to Shiva. Then after Shiva eats, you eat. Then it becomes Mahaprasadam. That's okay. It's like, for example, as if you offer boga to, Janmashtami boga to Krishna, and then you invite some sannyasis and offer them. first like sannyasis Vyasa Puja, you offer them. After they eat, you eat. It's the same, that's okay. So it becomes Maha Maha Prasadam. But if you don't do it in that mood, specially you make for Ganesha, then it's bribing basically. First of all, Ganesha like to eat prasadam. And we are giving him, no, you miss it, we are in a hurry. I don't have time to offer for Krishna, I'm going to make for you only. So he will not like it actually. So first of all, he doesn't eat it. We think he ate it, it became Mahaprasadam, we are eating. Okay. So we'll go to the next paragraph. So second paragraph, it's the next paragraph, he says, if one wishes to engage in devotional service to the Lord, not...
and to reach the goal of life, transcendental loving service of God, then one should find out what the Lord desires of him. One who loves Krishna will give him whatever he wants, and he avoids offering anything which is undesirable or unasked. Thus, meat, fish and eggs should not be offered to Krishna. If he desired such things as offerings, he would have said so. Instead, he clearly requests that a leaf, fruit, flowers and water be given to him. He says of this offering, I will
accept. So another important point about this verse is, he is telling exactly what things he will accept. That means whatever things he didn't mention are obviously not really what he wants. So that's another point Prabhupada is telling. So meat, fish and eggs he didn't really mention. So that means, we cannot offer them. So then, so we'll continue the last paragraph. Lacking senses, he could hardly... So the impersonalists, they understand the Supreme to have not have senses. So they don't understand this concept that Lord is accepting offering. For them, Lord doesn't have senses. So then there is no concept of prasadam for them. So they cannot really get purified with whatever they eat. So that's what Prabhupada is telling in the point. Lacking senses, he could hardly be considered full in all opulences. Then last paragraph, after third, fourth, yeah. After fifth line.
Lacking senses, he could hardly be considered full in all opulences. In the seventh chapter, Krishna has explained that he impregnates the living entities into material nature. This is done by his looking upon material nature. And so in this instance, Krishna's hearing the devotee's words of love in offering foodstuffs is wholly identical with his eating and actually tasting. This point should be emphasized. Because of his absolute position, his hearing is wholly identical with his eating and tasting. Only the devotee who accepts Krishna as he describes himself without interpretation can understand that the Supreme Absolute Truth can eat food and enjoy it.
So one time somebody challenged Srila Prabhupada, are you sure Krishna accepts? No, I put the plate and the same thing is coming back. How do I know he accepted it? So Prabhupada said, he doesn't eat like how we eat. He eats through his ears. That's the point here. All his senses are omnipotent, or they can work interchangeably. Through one sense, he can do the activity of other sense. So through a glance, he impregnated the material nature to produce. Otherwise we should use a different organ. So similarly, he accepts the food offering through his ears, through the prayers of his devotees.
Kids also ask this question. I know several kids asking this question. So I think this is a nice answer.
Nice answer. So he accepts the prayer, the bhava, the feeling, and then it becomes Mahaprasadam. So there is very nice pastime, I don't remember the character's name, right? I think once we mentioned Raghunandan Pandit or Raghunandan Thakur, I get confused. So his son, it's a small son, right? 5-year-old son. So that father is a father and mother, few devotees, and they make proper offerings to the Lord. And father is a Brahmana, so he used to make, my wife cooks and he used to offer and everything. One day he had to go somewhere and he asked his son, Raghunandan Pandit, I think, to make an offering to the Lord. So same way mother makes the plate and the boy went to the plate and he kept there and he was waiting that Lord will come and eat. He's not coming, nothing is happening. They started crying. Okay, if you don't accept this offering, if I go back, my dad is going to scold me that I didn't do my job properly. You should be better accept it. Then if I remember correctly, I think he takes a stick also. You better eat, otherwise I'm going to beat you or something like that. Then the Lord being, knowing the very innocent or rather pure devotion the boy has, he immediately comes and you know, he says actually voice comes first. No, I accept, that's how I eat, I already accepted it. No, you just take the plate, now it's done. Then, no, I don't agree with all these things. I have to really see that you are eating, otherwise I am not going to believe it. So then finally he comes and eats everything and comes back with an empty plate. Then the mother is shocked, you know, what is this? Maybe the boy ate everything. This Lord did never does like this, maybe the boy ate. Then she tells her husband, that this is what happened, he came with an empty plate. Then he was suspicious, like, okay, let's make another offering, let the boy go, let's see what happens. So then he said again, you know, I have to go shopping everywhere, and he went. But again, same thing happens. He went inside, and they are now parents were speaking and seeing what happens. So they see the whole scene. Then they see that the Lord personally comes and accepts. Then the father appreciates, and actually, you know, you are my guru. You have more devotion than me. That the Lord personally comes and he accepts what you have offered. So you are my guru, he says. No, such is the pure devotion of the children. Yeah, even we can see, right, the kids. One day I was telling, when our kids were just about to talk something, they were humming to the tune. When the king tune, Krishna comes, they were humming. So I was telling my Prabhu, does Krishna accept this as they're singing Hare Krishna? Then he said, yeah, that's what Krishna accepts. And now when they're talking, Narasimha is saying, Hare Kitta, Hare Kitta, like that he sings. And no, does Krishna accept this as singing? Yeah, he's going to accept it like singing. Right, because the words are not coming, it's not manifesting, but the bhava is there, right? That's what Krishna is going to accept. Okay, text number 27. Krishna is now telling us that all our activities we should do it as an offering to him, not just literally, you know, prasada offering, bhoga offering, but all other activities also can be done as an offering to him. Very, very crucial words. Yat karoshi yat ashnasi yat juhosi dadashi yat tapasyasi kauntaya tat kurushva madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. So basically all your activities during the day, do it as an offering to the Lord. Not just only bhoga. Everything can be prasadam. So we'll read this small paragraph for both.
Thus it is the duty of everyone to mold his life in such a way that he will not perish in any circumstance. Everyone has to work for maintenance of his body and soul together. And Krishna recommends herein that one should work for him. Everyone has to eat something to live. Therefore, he should accept the remnants of the foodstuffs offered to Krishna. Any civilized man has to perform some religious ritualistic ceremonies. Therefore, when Krishna recommends, do it for me, and this is called Archana. Everyone has a tendency to give something in charity. Krishna says, give it to me. And this means that all the surplus money accumulated should be utilized in furthering the Krishna consciousness movement. Nowadays, people are very much inclined to the meditational process, which is not practical in this age. But if anyone practices meditating on Krishna 24 hours a day by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra round his beads, he is surely the greatest meditator and the greatest yogi, as substantiated by the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita.
So Prabhupada is saying in the purport, like, people like to eat. So why don't we eat offering, the prasadam, which is offered to the bhoga, is offered to the Lord and taken as remnants. We like to do things, so why don't we do as a service to Krishna? We like to offer, give charity, so why don't we do it as charity to Krishna? And all the austerities, meditation, many people do, why don't we just meditate on Krishna? So that way we always, remember Krishna 24, that's the first line. Duty is to mold his life in such a way that he will not forget Krishna in any circumstance. Every time Prabhu asks the question, what if the whole day we are at work, how do we remember Krishna? How do we connect Krishna to our work? So it's the same thing. If you connect to Krishna and do it as an offering to the Lord, then we'll never forget Krishna in any moment. This is what secret Radhakrishna Prabhu was telling, maybe last year when he came. He was telling, so how do we remember Krishna every moment? How do we practically do it? we have so many duties, so many obligations, so many other things to do, so called, which we don't literally see Krishna in them. So the way to do it is how to see that their connection with Krishna and how to see it as an offering to Krishna. Then whole day if I am taking care of kids, and whole day if somebody is at work, or whole day if somebody is doing, you know, some other art and craft thing or whatever, if it's connected to Krishna, it's a, we are remembering Krishna. It's an offering to the Lord. So, yeah, this verse which Prabhupada is talking about, the 6th chapter, the verse, is that last verse. Yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam yome bhakta tama uktatama mataha. Is the greatest yogi, that one who meditates on me, always abides in me, always thinks of me within himself. So he says, charity we have to give, then we can give to the Krishna conscious movement. Yeah, one incident is the Srila Prabhupada's incidents. Mother Malati Mataji, she was Prabhupada's disciple, she fell sick during that initial days. And she was in the hospital, but Srila Prabhupada went and saw her in the hospital. Then she was telling, at that time, initial days, it was so dynamic. Everybody was to be engaged in so many services, like, you know, outside going, preaching Harinam Sankirtan, establishing temples, so active, so dynamic. So then, so chanting 16 rounds is just, you know, basic minimum. You finish that and then do other things. It's not like chanting 16 rounds is the only service we do to Krishna. It's, that's like, you know, okay, my quota is done, now I will do other thing, other main services to Krishna. So then, so one time when he came there, she was sick in the bed, so she was telling, you know, sorry Srila Prabhupada, I'm not able to do many services to you. I'm just chanting here, you know, I'm not having capacity to get up and do something, so I'm just chanting. Then Prabhupada said, yes, that's a goal. Eventually, we want to come to the stage that we just chant 24 hours. But you Western boys and girls are so restless that I have to give you so many engagements to keep you sane. So that's the point, you know, same thing. There are so many ways we connect. Whatever we do, we have to connect to Krishna so that we can somehow or the other remember Krishna, be Krishna conscious. That eventually, that will all feed into our concentration during japa. That will all feed into our quality of japa. Then gradually we will remember Krishna, and every time, and eventually we may come to the stage of chanting 24 hours. So chanting 24 hours, it doesn't mean sitting and chanting 24 hours. Our Guru Maharaj says, pure devotee, he either chants the holy name or he glorifies the holy name. So he chants, literally chants in the in the Harinams or in the Kirtans, or he chants japa. Rest of the time is glorifying the holy name by spreading the message of the holy name, preaching. So if somebody does all the time just chanting and kirtan whatever and rest of the time preaching, that means they are already 24 hours a day, they are remembering and chanting the holy name of Krishna. That's a practical way for us. It's ours is not like Goshtan Nandi where, you know, you go into forest. No problem. Ours is not, there are two types of followers, one is Bhajanandis and Goshtanandis. Bhajanandis are the people who, you know, they do bhajan. So they just go into forest and they take care of their bhajan. Vrindavan, I want to, you know, die in Vrindavan. They just retire to Vrindavan. But ours is Goshtanandi, means we go and preach, help others. That's more selfless actually. Because the earlier person is thinking about his own emancipation. But for the person who is thinking about others' welfare, he is thinking, even Prahlad Maharaj says, I am not worried about myself. I am always remembering you, I am serving you. Wherever I am liberated. No, I don't care about what is going to happen to me. But I am worried about these fools and rascals who are forgetting you and they are suffering, rotting in the hell. That's the mood of a pure devotee. He is not worried. That's why that's a mood Srila Prabhupada carried where he came all the way to US, right? He didn't care about what it happens to. That's the ideal situation, is to retire in Vrindavan. But still he left that position at that ripe age, 70 years, and he came so that he can give Krishna to all of us and bring all of us back to Vrindavan. Yeah. So if everybody is clear about how do we remember Krishna, be Krishna conscious whole day, 24 hours?
Chanting or glorifying his name or offering your entire work as
Krishna. So basically, you know, devotee chants the holy name or rest of the time he glorifies the holy name by helping spread the glories of the holy name. So if you do the work and use the monetary income in spreading the glories of the holy name, that means you are already doing the second phrase, spreading the glories of the holy name. So then all that work is connected to Krishna and it's pure devotional service. So we made.
We have connected to Krishna, like we have to think like how we can connect to him when we go to some places.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we should always think, that's how a sincere devotee thinks, you know. I'm invited to such and such event, you know, how is it, this is a crucial question we should keep asking, you know. Is it really going to help me advance, come closer to Krishna? Whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm going to go or wherever I'm going to go, is it really helping me come closer to Krishna? If it's not, then we should see how we can avoid it or whatever. If it is not, maybe sometimes we are not able to see it. And if it's an advanced devotee is recommending us to do it, then we are not able to see it. We should ask them, you know, okay, I'm not able to see connection to Krishna, but you're asking me to do such and such thing. Can you please tell me, you know, how it's connected to Krishna? Then, you know, I will be enlightened and I'll be more enthused. Because after we become little bit serious about Krishna consciousness, when we feel it's not connected to Krishna, we don't have enthusiasm to do it. We feel lack of taste and we feel lack of energy, we feel like, you know, I would rather somehow, you know, that's a sign of advancement actually. So when we do that and somebody is recommending such and such thing, you know, which we cannot see the connection, then we can ask them, you know, how is it, so can you please reveal to me, like that. So we should always ask this question. All every minute is a test, you know, so we should ask, is it really helping me come closer to Krishna? Otherwise, no, better or not do it. Okay. Text number 28. Shubha shubha phalai devam mokshayasi karma bandhanai sanyasa yoga yuktatma vimukto myam upaishyasi. In this way, you will be freed from bondage to work and its auspicious and inauspicious results. With your mind fixed on me, in this principle of renunciation, you will be liberated and come to me. So in this way means how? By doing everything as an offering to Krishna, what will happen? You will be freed from bondage to work and its auspicious and inauspicious results. So you will not be worried about the results, be it auspicious or inauspicious, so-called from material platform. But from spiritual platform, it's going to be auspicious because it's an offering to the Lord. With your mind fixed on me in this principle of renunciation. So that is real renunciation, that you give, you leave the results to the Lord. Right? Leave the results but do your duty. You will be liberated and come to me. It's a very nice and I think it's tying into the theme, which the something topics which happened today. I'll discuss about that. So then this actual principle of renunciation is Yukta Vairagya, the principle of renunciation which Rupa Goswami teaches us. What is our principle of renunciation? Yukta Vairagya, what does it mean? Yeah. So the way of renunciation for us is to connect everything to the Lord and use it in His service. That's our renunciation. We don't negate things. We don't reject things. Unless blatantly we cannot be used in Krishna. Like for example, beer, can, I don't know how we can use them, right? Or maybe you can use it to feed the fire so we can do yagya or something, you know. Not that yagya in the temple. But, you know, we went to bonfire, right? We did japa retreat, they put bonfire. So if you saw some, I don't know, I'm just making up. But so like that, if you can do something like that remotely, you know, maybe it can be used. But actually, very nice incident, I remember, recollect now. Vaisheshika Prabhu, he was sharing in one lecture. So he was giving, he's a pioneer in book distribution. He's like the topmost devotee of book distribution, and so many years he did book distribution, and all his qualities, everything he developed because of focusing on book distribution. He is now a guru and he initiates disciples, and he's located in San Jose. So he was giving one lecture, he was sharing about an incident in book distribution. So he approached a young couple. They were busy themselves talking something, but he went and approached Bhagavad Gita, and after some time they were keen, and slowly he went back to them, slowly, little, and finally they got the Bhagavad Gita, and they said, you know, I don't have anything to give. Then he said, no, you should give, because the point is, if you give, even 1 paisa, if you give, it's like offering to the Lord, so the devotional service begins. So he was insisting on taking something. Then finally they said, we don't have anything actually. Okay, so I have this, they smoke and all, so I have this lighter, I want to give it to you. He took the lighter, said, oh, thank you for your offering, and he took it. Lighter or something else, something. So then he said, he went home for 3 hours or something, he cleaned it so nicely, so that it's in such a way that it's so spick and span that it's ready to be offered, and every day he uses it while he does aarti. He lights the aarti, the agarbatti with that, and he remembers and he says a prayer that, Lord, this is the offering of that young couple to you, please kindly accept it. So he says that's the duty of a pure, or he says, doesn't say pure devotee, that's the duty of a devotee, that whoever comes in touch with them, somehow they connect them to the Lord. That's how the devotee should think. It's not like, you know, yeah, what, you know, you're not, you, how are you qualified to offer anything anyway, you don't have anything. It's not like that, but how can we make it offerable to the Lord? You know, that's the mood of a pure devotee. That's how he thinks. But when we see the connection, we can awaken that connection in others. So first of all, we should be so Krishna conscious to see that connection. If we are not, then we think, you know, how can lighter be used in Krishna service, and we throw it, right? And that, first of all, this lighter is used for smoking for so long, you know, what will I do? Anyway, it's so impure, you know, what will happen, right? So that's the vision of a pure devotee. So the point here is, that's the Yukta Vairagya, right? So let's read 4 lines down the purport, actually situated in renunciation.
Gradually makes progress in spiritual realization, he becomes completely surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, at the end, he becomes liberated, and this liberation is also specified. By this liberation, he does not become one with the Brahma Jyotir, but rather enters into the planet of the Supreme Lord.
Yeah. So, by this renunciation, by doing this Yukta Vairagya, gradually all the activities become spiritualized, and he is completely surrendering to the Lord and becomes liberated. So what is a liberation is clarified again. This liberation is not impersonal merging into Brahman, but this is attaining the kingdom of the Lord. So we'll read the last paragraph. It is said, no, or rather 4 lines in the second paragraph. For ordinary persons, it is obligatory. Yeah.
Persons, it's obligatory to execute the prescribed duties mentioned in the Vedas. But although a pure devotee who is completely engaged in the service of the Lord may appear to sometimes to go against the prescribed Vedic duties, actually it's not so. It is said, therefore, by Vaishnava authorities that even the most intelligent person cannot understand the plans and activities of a pure devotee. The exact words of Tandra Vakya, kriya mudra vigneha na bujaya.
A person who is thus always?
A person who is thus is always engaged in the service of the Lord or is always thinking and planning how to serve the Lord is to be considered completely liberated at present. And in the future, he is going back to home, back to Godhead, all is guaranteed. He is above all materialistic criticism, just as Krishna is above all criticism.
Yeah. So the point Srila Prabhupada is saying is, nobody can understand the inner mood of a pure devotee. It seemingly the activities may, we may not understand, we may think it's an ordinary, or we may think, no, it's something mundane, but actually nobody can understand. So that's why we should be very careful in judging devotees, and we should make sure that, you know, we don't commit offenses. So one practical thing, I think today, two things I wanted to share. So my Prabhu was sharing, his manager, he's like very near, he stays in Sammamish only, he comes to our temple once in a while. He wanted to have his kids join Synergy International School. So then we were trying to, you know, some devotees were trying to approach him. Then there somebody was asking, you know, how is he situated towards Krishna consciousness, you know, is he favorable or whatever. So then Prabhu was describing about his mentality. So he made a couple of comments. So he was saying, you know, oh, these days I see Harivilas Prabhu, he seems very gloomy, very sad. Okay, so initially I used to think that, you know, he's very, very elevated. Is above all whatever happens, but I know, you know, maybe there are some issues with respect to Bellevue Temple or whatever, so seems like it's affecting him. Oh, so seems like he's also one of us, he's like, you know, normal like me and you. No, he said like that. Then other thing he told is like, one time, you know, with kids, it's very stretching for us sometimes, right, in the night, something like that. So Prabhu was tired, his manager, right, so he went to work and said, oh, you look very tired. He said, yeah, you know, something happened, you know, kids were cranky, I didn't sleep properly or something. Then he said like, oh, okay, so you are practicing meditation for 10 years and still, you know, you come in under the influence of anger and, you know, you are not able to control and all these things. Then he said, yeah, in normal circumstances we can, but sometimes when we are pushed to extreme circumstances, I also am not able to. No, I give in. I'm not so advanced. He said, oh, then you are also like me. You are no ordinary. No, you and me are same. He's like, okay, that's very nice. So finally, if you ask him what is his philosophy is, my philosophy is you are God, I am God, everybody is God. That is his philosophy. Then I told Prabhu, you know, better don't associate with him. You know, don't talk to him. That's Mayavadi philosophy. You know? That's what, you know. So we judge people according to what our understanding and bring people down to our level. Everybody is like me anyway. I'm struggling with all my things. He is also struggling. Maybe it's a smaller struggle or bigger struggle. This one example is there. What's the difference? Like, one example is, who knows the story of Alexander, the thief story? Srila Prabhupada tells that Alexander was a big ruler and he caught one person stealing something. I don't know exactly what it is. He was stealing, you know.
It was some device. Original device that Prabhu mentioned. So he caught him. So he said, Alexander said, okay, cut his head off. So he said, on what authority you are? The thief asked Alexander, what authority you are doing this? What do you mean by what authority? I'm the king. What do you mean by you are the king? You go and steal from all the other countries. I just steal from tents. There is no difference. You are thief the great. I'm just ordinary thief.
You are a big thief, I am a small thief, what's the difference, he said. So it's like that, you know, he said, you know, I am able to control, I cannot control senses in so many situations, you cannot control in this many situations, what's the difference, like, you know, it's the same. There is no advancement, there is no difference. You are God, I am God, everybody is God. Yeah, hopefully.
I think that comment can be also interpreted in this way, Mataji. See, when you are seeing a fault in others, right, maybe you, okay, so for example, you know, I had a lot of struggle with coffee, right? So when I see somebody struggling with some habit, I say, oh, I can understand, he's struggling. He will come through that, like that, right? So that is another way he's saying.
So he's saying that, you know, he'll come through that and come to my level. What is
no,
it?
No, no. No. I'm saying that he's understanding that people also struggle. Is what I'm saying.
No, but the thing is, it's not that he's not his right to judge, like, you know, elevated
it's
devotee.
Not, that's why he's saying it.
That's okay. He knows everybody struggles.
Yeah.
But he is considered Harivilas Prabhu as the one above the struggle, and now he's brought him down to the person who is struggling also. What is that? That's offensive.
Yeah.
Very offensive. Yeah. So that's the thing. Yeah, we can definitely give benefit of doubt as much. You know, hopefully Krishna is also giving such doubt, benefit of doubt. But we can pray. So that's the point, you know, like what are we discussing first of all? Yeah, about criticism. So we don't criticize devotees and think, judge based on external, you know, doesn't mean Krishna consciousness is not of it doesn't have emotions, right? We can be sad thinking, you know, I'm missing Krishna, my face may be gloomy because of that, and if somebody thinks that, oh, you know, devotees are also sad, oh, he is like me, she is like me, you know, then what's the point? I'm sad because I missed one iPod, I lost my iPod, and he's sad because he is missing Krishna. Is both are same or right? You know, who understands the inner mood of a devotee? Without knowing that, we cannot judge like that and commit offenses. Main thing, at least, you know, in all of this, what benefit of doubt we can give is that, especially with respect to his comment towards Prabhu, he knows that there is something substantial he is doing. So when we know something worthful somebody is doing, we always want to find where is the mistake, because we cannot understand, you know, how is he doing year after year for 10 years. So something is going on here. So when they want to always find out the loophole to bring the person down, or think, you know, feel, I think that, you know, I'm good, you are good, you know, you are no more better than me.
That's
the point.
Yeah, I agree. I see what.
That's why they say, like, you know, okay, anyway, after doing so much, anyway, you are at that level. So yeah, without doing anything, I'm also that level. What's the good anyway? It's the same.
What the difference I think is, like, whenever they are in that situation, they always go to Krishna for help. But myself, I'm searching here and there. I need to cultivate a habit of going to Krishna with them. And is that okay?
Yeah.
Think like that?
Yeah. So you're seeing similarities in your situation, and you're also seeing, you know, how somebody else in the situation is actually connecting more to Krishna in those situations. That's a very good. That's going to help you come closer in that situation to Krishna. But if you see somebody, like, you know, materialistic, same situation fighting, they'll more argue, and they'll take up actions or things in a way that they'll take them farther away from Krishna. So if you take inspiration from them or association from them, then that will not help you. So that's the advantage of having devotees. So devotees, even if they fight, it's beneficial, because if they are going to give a lesson, always they are going to, at least, you know, sincere devotees, always they are going to bring it back to Krishna. So very nice, it relates to one point which once this year, what is, Arudha Mataji is there, she is a guru of, so called guru of homeschooling. So her sons homeschooled, you know, now they are very, what to say, well established, both materially as well as spiritually, and very wonderful examples. So she homeschooled them based on just Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, they taught the books, everything. So while she, of course, helps other devotees who are interested in, you know, guiding them, you know, in setting up their centers, everything, you know, their school and school life, and working out issues, helping them, guiding them. So in one of the conference calls, one devotee was asking this question, like, you know, me and my husband, sometimes we have arguments, we fight, and so I really want to homeschool my child, because it's very good environment for her to help her become more Krishna conscious. I can give, like, you know, morning program, read Bhagavatam with her, everything. I want to give best, you know, that my heart says like that. But at the same time, the more she stays at home, she's more open to what's happening at home, like, you know, my issues with my husband or fights, everything. She's seeing in and out everything. So, you know, I feel sometimes maybe I'm not qualified to teach her. Maybe I'm, by homeschooling her, I'm actually doing wrong to her. Rather, she goes to school and you know, she has a better view of everything and maybe that's better for her. The reply what she gave was very amazing. I was very astounded by the reply. What she said is, no, why do you think like that? You know, by staying at home and seeing the issues, what your child is knowing that, first of all, she's getting a realization that Grihastha life is not as rosy as somebody may imagine. She's seeing how husband and wife practically, one second, I'll complete, it's very important. So how husband and wife live through the situations and even despite issues, how they make a determination to stay with each other and how they work out the issues. That's what she's seeing live. You know, what an experience she's getting. Why do you think like that? You know, what a real life experience you're giving by going to public school. How is she going to get this experience? So because she has such a faith in the whole process of homeschooling, because she knew herself how it turned her kids out. So that manifests in her, whatever solution she gives, that's the faith she gives to others, you know. You never underestimate the potency of homeschooling, you know, the protection, the guidance, the amount of Krishna consciousness you can give her at home, nobody else can give. She says like this. Very important, right? How she says, that's how devotees are, you know, somehow in the home. And she said actually, he herself wrote in a book, Homeschooling for Krishna's Children, I and my husband also have issues and my kids growing up, they saw that. But next day when I teach them Bhagavatam, I tell, okay, boys, yesterday I was not in the right mood. The way I reacted to my dad, it's wrong. But, you know, in this situation, what do you think, you know, how else could we react it? They discuss, they make it as a discussion point. And they tell, you know, what would be a favorable option? You know, what else could I have done differently to have a much better discussion instead of fighting, raging, everything? You know, how else could be dealt with the situation? It becomes a topic of the table next day. It's so, you know, we can learn from our experiences and kids learn practically what is Grihastha life. So when they became Grihasthas, so they have very realistic expectations about what they want, what they are going to see. Oh, so wonderful. No, that's the advanced devotee, that's how they think. You said the same thing.
No, my heart is just going to make a silly joke. They are expecting rosy night life. I was thinking, who exactly is expecting that?
If you ask any of your bachelors, and if you tell them, you know, all the married people, to go and tell the bachelors, you know, please don't come, don't get married, you know. I'm telling you what it exactly like, you know, please don't make mistake. You are very happy being a bachelor. The bachelor will say, you you enjoy all the fun and you are telling me not to get into it. I know.
So this is going on in the temple, Mother. Sunday when I come to service, there is one Prabhu who comes, Vasant Prabhu. So he's still a bachelor, and you know, there are other Matajis who keep pulling his leg, right? So I say, Matajis, leave him alone. He's very happy right now. Why do you want to? And it just keeps going.
Yeah. So same thing, you know, many people hanker for kids. No, I also was in that state, right? So somehow, you know, Krishna, especially for me, covered it up. I never saw anything wrong in raising children, or rather anything austere in raising children. I always saw it positively. I don't know, maybe Krishna wanted me to really pursue it and have kids. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just my illusion covered everything. So, yeah, so we don't see it. Then people who have kids, we tell, you know, Mataji, you actually are very happy without kids. You know, you can do so much service to Krishna. You can be so happy. Then she will always be thinking, you know, she has kids, she rose, she went through all that experience, she enjoyed so nicely, and she's telling me not to have kids. So what to do, you know? Everybody has to learn through their own experiences sometimes.
There is a saying, Mataji, Pattadandariyam Parti. It means that only when you burn your hand, you...
Yeah, exactly. So that's what, you know, the lesson of Grihastha life is that initially, you know, we go through all these phases. Oh, you know, romantic wife, romantic husband, all those things. But the lesson of Grihastha life, I mentioned once, it's that at the end of some number of years of family life, both husband and wife will come to the conclusion that, okay, this is not fun. that's the conclusion husband and wife have to come to. So if come to it before, maybe in 5 years if come to it, then that means you are very advanced. You're making fast progress in grasta land.
I must be very slow. Actually,
I don't know.
Okay. You don't know the other side. Maybe I came to conclusion a year ago. I mean, the first year itself.
Okay, so that's what it's going to show.
And the conclusion also keeps changing.
Okay. So we just a few minutes. I don't think we can go to the next verse. We initially thought only a 28, but I thought I could also cover 29. But that's a very crucial verse which we can do next class, next session. So any more questions or comments?
Because we are joking.
Yeah.
One
please.
Joke. So there are two most difficult things to do in this world. One is to put an idea into someone else's head. It's very, very difficult. And the other is to take money from someone else's pocket.
Mm.
Like, you know, willingly they try to give up or you take money. So if you are successful in the former, you are a very good teacher or a preacher.
Mm.
Right? If you are very successful in the latter, you are a politician or a very good entrepreneur. If you are successful in both, you are the wife. If you are failure in both, you are the husband.
Very good. It's a saying somewhere.
Some joke.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, Chanakya Pandit, he quotes many philosophical. Prabhupada also repeats it so many times. So his own experience, it seems he had a very miserable married life for him. So that's one of the Shastra quotes. He writes very nice quotes which Prabhupada repeats. He says one of the quotes is, "To have attractive wife is the worst thing to have in life." He says, no, because you know, you want to enjoy, but you know, she makes you run around you and all those things. So that's why Prabhupada says in one of his lectures, he said, when I got married to my wife, I didn't find her attractive. Actually, he went to his father and he told, I want to remarry somebody else. And father called him and said, no, Babu, don't worry like this. Better to have a wife which you don't like so much. You know, you will see later how it's going to help you. And Papa said, I realized later, you know, I'm able to give her up easily, so I can take up, you know, sannyas. But wonderful thing is, if you have wife and husband who are devotees, then it's best actually, you know, best. Then that attachment is going to bring us only closer to Krishna. One or the other is going to make more advancement, the other person is attached to that person, so he's going to tag him alone or tag her along, and then they both, you know, ride back to spiritual world. So husband and wife are actually, Guru Maharaj also says, they can never be separated. So even, you know, the moment you think of a wife, immediately think of the husband. So like that, you know, especially devotee husband and wife, they are so strongly tied to each other, they help each other go back to Krishna. Okay, we can stop here. It's okay. All the Rishi Srila Prabhupada.